You're listening to the Giant Bomb Extreme Girl Advice Line. You found the right place. My heart belongs to Giant Bomb. Giant Bomb.
Hello and welcome to the Giant Bomb Extreme Girl Advice Line. I'm your host, John.
And I'm your co-host, Dawn.
And we are ready to take your call. Well, it's been a bit of a longer break than we were expecting, I think.
Yeah.
About 2-3 months?
Yeah, I've had a lot of exams going on.
Yeah, we were hoping to get start doing it monthly, and that's still the plan. Hopefully starting now, we'll be recording each episode, like, in the middle of each month. So this is the July episode. I think we were supposed to do one in May, so it's been a while.
Yeah, but like I said, we had a lot going on. Things kept coming up. We only have, well, Sundays to record. And I had my exams, like, every Monday, so.
Yeah, but now you're done with school, and then we had the excuse of you traveling over here, so we had to wait for that to happen. And then we've been kind of busy since you got here, so this is the first chance we really had to sit down and get things going.
Mm-hmm.
So what's new with you, Dawn?
Well, I'm in America now.
Yeah. Land of the free. Home of the brave.
When did I come? About 4 weeks ago?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, we've been really busy since I've been here, going away and things. We had a wedding to go to.
Mm-hmm. Well, before we get to the wedding, I had to experience the bachelor party, which...
Was this your first one?
No, I've been to one before this one. And... I mean, all we really did was we went to a Sox game, White Sox game, in Chicago, and I'll be honest, during the whole bachelor party thing, I was kind of, like, let down, because, like, in movies and TV shows, you always see, like, wild, crazy, this is your last night of freedom, wild, crazy, you're supposed to be strippers and gambling and drinking, and we just went to a Sox game. I mean...
I was happy about it.
Yeah, I'm sure you were. But, I guess that's just how it's shown in the media, though. I think, I mean, as long as you're having a good time, I guess it doesn't really matter if it's not super exciting, like a life-changing experience.
Yeah. I think whatever is fun for you.
Right. And the Bachelor got plenty drunk at the game, so I guess that made up for it a bit.
Did the Sox win?
No, the Sox never won. I mean, more than the Cubs, but no, the White Sox aren't that great. What are bachelor and bachelorette parties like in the UK?
I don't know. I guess kind of similar. They go clubbing. Clubbing doesn't seem as big a thing in the US.
More bar hopping than clubbing, I guess. Just going to bar after bar and getting wasted, not like dancing and
techno. Well, bars, clubs, sometimes they go to like Amsterdam. That's a big thing. They'll go for a weekend in Amsterdam or somewhere in Europe.
It must be nice having like other countries nearby that you can just go to.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the most that happens really here is people go to Vegas for bachelor parties.
So. Yeah.
You call them something different too, don't you?
I know girls are hen nights. You call them bachelorettes.
Bachelorette party, yeah.
Oh, and guys are stag dudes.
Why hen parties? And
I don't know. I know.
So like you've seen like in media and stuff, like American movies and shows, what bachelor and bachelorette parties are like. Is that kind of what you guys are like too, or?
Yeah, everyone getting as drunk as you can, falling over, strippers, yeah.
Yeah, and like bachelorette parties, the thing is, it's always women for some reason, like surrounding themselves with things shaped like penises, like penis ice cube trays and penis straws and penis balloon.
Because you're going to have one for the rest of your life.
So you try to play the field and get as many penises as you can in the last minute?
Mm-hmm.
I guess that makes sense. We don't have, like, booby cakes or anything.
No?
Actually, some people probably do.
You just get real boobs.
Yeah, strippers. And I guess, speaking of that, so, along the lines of what I was saying about how bachelor parties in real life don't really live up to the fantasy, one of the other people at the bachelor party kind of agreed. So we got home at about 11 o'clock, and everyone was kind of like tired and passing out, and including the bachelor. And this guy kept saying that, "It's 11 o'clock. I'm not letting you fall asleep at 11 o'clock on your bachelor party." And he kept like talking like that for an hour and a half, not doing anything, just complaining. And by that time, everyone had fallen asleep. And then, after everyone's in bed, decides, "That's it. I'm going to call a stripper." So he looks up on the internet, like a stripper, like to come to the house, which is a little sketchy, especially with no notice. At 12:30 at night, he's calling. He calls a number, and a stripper says, "Sure, like I'll be there in an hour." And right off, like that's like the Little Caesars of pizza. Like, you don't want a stripper that you call them at 12:30 at night, and they're like, "Yeah, just give me 45 minutes to get there." Like, something seems
convenient.
It's great customer service, I guess, but it seems a little sketchy to me. Like,
I'm sure they don't have much else to do.
I imagine it's kind of like a firehouse, like for firemen, where like you call and then there's just an alarm and they hop out of bed and put on their stripper boots and ride down the pole.
Is that euphemism?
I don't know. But like, anyone that's going to show up at your house half naked in 45 minutes that late on a Saturday night, it's probably not going to be the cream of the crop that they're just that they're sending you. And everyone was half asleep. I wanted to leave. I wanted to go home.
I'm sure you did.
Obviously. Of course I did, because I'm happily monogamous. But I felt like the bachelor is one of my best friends, and I felt like he's asleep. All of the bachelor's good friends were asleep. I felt it was my responsibility.
Yeah, good friend.
To stay and see the stripper and make sure that nobody just like robbed, like started stuffing things in their G-strings before they walked out and stuff like that. And the guy that called didn't even have enough money to cover it. It was like $200 or something. So he started like grabbing money from people who were half asleep, and I was worried that they were gonna like just refuse to leave or cause some trouble because we didn't have enough money. But luckily, we managed to scrounge up enough. And then they showed up, and the bachelor wouldn't wake up. He refused to wake up because he was already asleep.
Good on him.
He's just lazy. He's still a pervert. He's just lazy. And one of the strippers actually got into his bed and kept trying to wake him up. And he literally kicked her out of his bed. Like, one foot just fully extended, launched her off his bed. So then for the rest of the night, the strippers were talking about how grumpy our friend was, how mean he was. And the best man wouldn't get up either. So it wound up being me, the guy who called them, and then two other, like, semi-good friends of the bachelor. And those two semi-good friends stood in for the bachelor and the best man, and they each got lap dances from a short, chubby Asian stripper and a tall, skinny, like, strung-out emo stripper.
Nice. Nice variety.
And then there was a third woman with them that we didn't pay for, so she fell asleep and laid her head on my shoulder and fell asleep on the couch. I didn't tell you that?
No, you didn't tell me that.
She fell asleep on me while the other two were getting lap dances, and a big, bald, fat Russian guy sat in the kitchen just texting on his phone.
Really?
Yeah, to make sure nothing untoward happened to the strippers that showed up in 45 minutes.
Who was this one asleep on you?
Just some old... She looked like the She kind of looked like a younger version of the MILF from American Pie. So.
The blonde.
Stifler's mom.
Oh.
Yeah. So. She was just going through his cable channels looking for something. And they popped on, like, fresh rap beats. Like one of those cable, like, just radio stations. Yeah. And, after that, they had the two guys take off their shirts and lie on the ground. And then they said, you need to give each of us 20. And at that point, I was like, I thought we just paid you $200. I thought, like, that $200 was going to cover everything.
Yeah.
But no, then I gave one of them a 20, and the other guy gave the other a 20. And they placed the $20 bill on the guy's mouth that was lying on the ground, each of them. And then put a wet nap. Oh, no, they put a wet nap on his face, and then put the $20 bill on top of that. And then the stripper sat on the $20 bill and picked it up with their vaginas and said the guys on the ground had to scream into their vaginas, I love pussy. So that was really awkward to watch.
Did you do that?
No. I didn't. I stayed out of it. I was our version of the big fat Russian ball guy testing. I was just making sure everything stayed PC. But that was very uncomfortable, watching two guys get straddled while they yelled, I love pussy, into some gross-looking stripper vaginas. What else did they do? Then they got them up and, like, gave them, like, atomic wedgies, like, pulled their underwear from the back all the way up and, like, tore them, and then said, the more money you give us, the harder we'll spank these guys. And I'm like, I don't care how hard you spank, like, what? So I've got to give them money to get, and that, like, everything just costs more and more. It was
how,
like,
much did you give?
It was like microtransactions. I had like $60, and I wound up giving all of that.
You wanted them spanked, that, huh?
One of them did. He's like, harder. Yeah, I guess he misheard the part about how they had to pay to get the spankings harder. And apparently, OB is really into getting spanked. OB is the guy's name, because he made me go through about $5, $10. Just to keep getting spanked harder. That was weird.
I would have said no. I don't have any money left. Unless you're secretly into it.
No. Oh, yeah. I loved watching a guy I vaguely know get spanked in front of me and begging for it to be harder.
Everyone has different tastes.
If I want that, I could just watch Game of Thrones or something. But there was some more weird stuff like that. But I feel like we've gone way too long on creepy stripper bachelor parties.
Yeah.
But it was really bizarre having this one of them just falling asleep on the couch, a big fat guy texting while they're like, and they kept saying, like, while they were giving lap dances to the guys, they were like, your friend's really mean because he kicked her out of the bed. She would not let that go, that he kicked her out of the bed.
Yeah, she's not used to it.
I don't know. I bet she's, I don't know. But, so that wound up being like a tragic version of the traditional bachelor party.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to a bachelor party or a bachelorette party? A bachelorette party, I guess. Hopefully you haven't been to any bachelor parties.
Yeah.
Working.
I haven't, actually. None of my friends have got married yet. We're all a bit, little bit younger than you and your friends.
So, do you know what you guys do at hen nights, usually? Do you guys, I guess it's less common for women to get strippers, but it's still pretty regular.
Yeah, but it's different when women get strippers, because it's more jokey. They're kind of laughing and kind of like, yeah, woo!
I think that's how it starts, and then they start getting into it.
No.
Yeah. I've seen some videos on the internet where blowjobs start happening. But
that porn?
It was porn.
Okay, well, that's different.
Porn's real life, okay?
And in the UK, I don't know if you do it here, the bride-to-be will wear, like, L plates.
L plates?
Like learner.
Like
it's like what learner drivers wear.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's the end of that story? There's no reason for it or anything?
I don't know why again.
Well, I guess, okay, here's what I want to say to any guys listening out there that are planning bachelor parties. If you're going to see strippers, either go to a strip club or order a stripper in advance or something. Like, don't...
I'm sure it'd be pretty much the same.
No, because, one, that was the cheapest thing we could find, $200. And two, it was 45 minutes. Like, if you're going to do a bachelor party and you're going to get a stripper, go all out, get... Do, like, the traditional, like, show up dressed like a cop type thing. And I think if it's from, like, a stand-up establishment, I'm sure you can probably, like, check them out first to see what they look like or something.
Really?
Probably. Like, a trial run. Test it out. But you, yeah, don't wait till after the bachelor falls asleep to order the strippers. That's your lesson for today.
I'm sure he knew that he would probably get replaced as the groom.
What do you mean?
The guy that ordered them thought he's asleep. Now I'll get all the weird, freaky stuff.
Yeah, he was definitely way, way more into it than everyone else.
And everyone else will pay for it.
I get, yeah, that was pretty smart of him, I guess, yeah. I don't really want to go into it any more than that.
Okay.
I'm trying to put that whole tragic night behind me because it's still too fresh in my mind.
Well, I'll talk to you some more about the one asleep on you later.
Oh, great. I took a shower.
I would have pushed her off.
That would be rude, Dawn.
I don't care.
If every stripper is somebody's daughter, remember that. Okay. Treat them classy.
Okay.
All right. Let's move on and talk about some video games. It's time for What You've Been Playing.
I've been playing Bioshock Infinite when I arrived here. I wanted to play it for a long time, but because my exams, I couldn't really play anything. So, and I knew as soon as I got here, I'd play it while you're in Wick.
Yeah. Conveniently, I already bought it, so you didn't have to. Piracy is killing the game industry, Don.
I never pirate.
Yeah. Sharing games is piracy. Ask Microsoft.
Yeah. But... it was good. I don't know that I preferred it to the first Bioshock.
We'll avoid spoilers, though. I mean, most people have played it, but let's not get into that right now.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I thought I preferred Bioshock, the original, to Infinite.
I definitely preferred Rapture as a... Mm-hmm. The atmosphere was much better, I think.
Yeah, the whole tone of the game and everything. The plot of Infinite was probably more interesting, but it's also more complex, and so it's not as easily digestible, and then I preferred the gameplay and everything.
Yeah, I didn't really like the plasmas.
The tonics.
Tonics, yeah.
Vigors. Mm-hmm. Yeah, those didn't really fit as well as the plasmids did, and, I just got the impression that there were a lot of, like, half-baked ideas. Like, the game was delayed for so long, like, it felt like certain gameplay things were added and were going to be a part of the game, and then they took out almost all of it, except for, like, there was that one time where you find a key and it's like, backtrack to find what this key goes into. Mm-hmm. And that's the only time that happens. Right. Or, like, don't steal or else people will get mad. And that happens, like, once, if that.
Yeah.
So it just felt like a bunch of half-baked ideas to me. What else did you think about it?
I liked Elizabeth. She seemed cool.
Yeah. Powerful woman.
Yeah. and it was interesting, I guess, their relationship, and I quite like having a companion when I'm playing a game. But again, I preferred the splicers as enemies.
Yeah.
I thought they were more interesting.
Yeah, it just seemed like the original Bioshock was more focused, whereas this had a bunch of ideas, but had to balance time between them, and then, so, like, nothing was fulfilled as much as you wanted, because they kept jumping back and forth between.
Mm-hmm. It did still have those, like, shock moments.
Yeah, a couple. A few, like, twists and turns, yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know. I think I probably overhyped it and too much after hearing everyone's.
Mm-hmm. It's still a great game, but yeah, it's not quite what I was hoping for.
And I was waiting so long to play it.
Mm. What else have you been playing?
Since then, I've started playing Tomb Raider. Mm-hmm. I haven't finished it yet. I don't know how far I am, maybe.
I think you're about halfway, maybe a little more.
Okay. And I like that again, another strong woman.
Yeah.
I find it a little different. Well, obviously it's different to the originals, but it's been a long time since I played them.
Yeah, you played, like, the old PC ones.
Yeah, I used to play them with my friend. One of us would be on the mouse and one would be on the keyboard.
When you were really little? Like Tomb Raider 1, 2, and 3?
Yeah. Those.
Yeah, I had never played those, but I had played the more recent, like, reboots, where it was, like, Anniversary, Legends, and Underworld, the ones that, like, were at the beginning of the 360. Right.
Yeah, I didn't really play those.
Yeah, so we have completely different Tomb Raider experiences.
I'm liking it. I'm not used to I'm not great at the QuickTime events. I never really play on the PS3, so I keep getting mixed up with the buttons.
Were there not a lot of QuickTime events in the ones you played?
Not that I remember.
There were plenty of them in the ones I played. There are a lot of QuickTime events where if you failed, you'd watch her just die.
Yeah.
Which seems to be what's in this one. They weren't quite as grisly, from what I remember. I specifically only remember one where she's, like, riding a motorcycle and jumping across one rooftop to another, and if you missed, like, she'd get knocked off and fall to her death. But, mm-hmm. like, you don't see anything. And here, she's, like, getting, like, pikes through the neck and...
Yeah. More grisly.
Yeah.
But I'm liking it.
Mm-hmm.
It seems cool.
What do you like about it?
I like the atmosphere. I'm not great with the bow.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm good with my little pick.
Oh, hammer, the pickaxe, yeah.
Pickaxe thing, yeah. But yeah, I'm not great talking about games.
That's all right. I liked the whole exploration thing, like the little environment puzzles to find all the bonus stuff. But there weren't really as many puzzles as I was hoping. That's
one thing that kind of can ruin, but interfere with gameplay for me. I'm just constantly using my survival instinct to try and spot the little...
That's like the detective vision
totem thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, goes black and white and shows you the important things.
Yeah, I'm trying to see the little collectibles that I have to shoot and stuff.
Mm. The only time that's kind of annoying is because you never know if you have what you need. Like, you can spend an hour trying to pick one of those up and not know that you just need an item that you pick up in 3 hours and you can get it in a second. So you just kind of waste that time.
Yeah.
But other than that, I like that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I do, but it just kind of gets in the way of the story for me. Because I'm too much of a completionist.
Yeah. It can definitely kill the pacing a little. I've been playing, we've been playing together, kind of, Walking Dead 400 Days. Last year, you and I played together when you were here.
Yeah.
Well, I played and you watched.
Yeah. And we played when I was home, too, and you...
Over the...
Put your webcam at the TV. Yeah.
Which isn't ideal, but
it worked.
I thought 400 Days was, it kind of almost felt like a demo or just like a sampler for before the next season starts. It was good. It had some interesting questions and situations, but it didn't really feel like anything substantial or like, I honestly doesn't feel like it's absolutely necessary. There are one or two obvious things that feel like they'll tie into the next season, but it feels like that's something that you're going to, like, interact with, like, a few times in the first episode of season 2, and then it's not going to matter at all.
I guess, because it's not something that'll be compulsory, right?
Right. They say it will connect, but it doesn't feel like it's, like, unless you really want more Walking Dead, I mean, and it's great. It is. But it just, it's non-essential, I don't think.
No, but it was good.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. even though I don't like how mine ended.
Nah.
Yeah, I don't want to get into more than that because this is pretty new. Mm-hmm. And then together, we've been playing Donkey Kong Country Returns.
Yeah, which I'm very bad at.
You were all right. I'd played the SNES ones, but you haven't, right?
No.
It felt like a good update to that, and they haven't made one of those in a long time.
But it's tricky.
Yeah, but like near the end, it gets pretty difficult, especially these rocket barrel courses where you kind of have to weave in and out of things by tapping the button. I've had it for a while, but I never got around to playing it because I wanted to play it co-op. Mm-hmm. And it's actually a really good update, and I like that it's a little harder because the people that are going to be playing it, for the most part, are probably going to be people that played the originals.
I'm sure lots of kids would see it.
Yeah, but kids...
And parents would buy it for their kids. And...
But I don't think kids feel the need to beat things, or if they do, they're more willing to play the same thing over and over again until they finally...
I think there are a lot of thrown Wii controllers.
Actually, the Wii control, I think, is... I mean, people have said this before, but it's the worst part of it. Mm-hmm. Like, the fact that blowing... That's weird. Rolling and slamming the ground are all controlled by shaking the Wiimote makes it a lot less, like, precise.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you'll try to blow, like, a flower petal or something, and you'll just go rolling off the ledge.
Yeah. I did that a lot.
Yeah. But aside from that, it's great. They kind of stick to the basics. Like, you get Rambi, but there are none of the other animal helpers, really. And there's no water levels, which was a big part of the original Donkey Kong Country games. And I actually kind of like those water levels.
Yeah?
Yeah, it wasn't like you couldn't drown or anything, which is what people usually hate. It was more just... kind of a slower version of those rocket barrel things, I guess.
Oh, okay.
Where you can control where you're going. Yeah, that's about it. I don't have too much to say about that. The game's like 3 years old, so nobody's really interested in hearing about Donkey Kong Country Returns.
But we also play Guacamelee.
Yeah, we just started that today, I think. Or yesterday.
Yesterday, yeah.
I like that a lot. It's a Metroidvania, basically. Have you ever played any games like that?
No.
Well, the new Tomb Raider is kind of similar to that, where, like, you can't go certain areas. Like, you have to backtrack with new items to open up old areas. And the Batman games are like that, the new Batman games. But this is a 2D one, obviously. I like the sense of humor. I think the animation is really good.
Yeah. You like a meme?
I like some memes. They don't go as overboard with that as they could. Like, it's not all about that. That's all background stuff.
Yeah. I was expecting a lot more from what I heard.
Yeah, but the dialogue is funny, aside from the whole meme thing.
I like the style.
Yeah, and we're playing that co-op, so they don't really refer to your character at all, but it's fun playing together. And they've got the same thing as Donkey Kong, where you can bubble.
Yeah.
Because there are some parts that are way too hard for two people.
Yeah.
Like, we'd have to do everything in sync.
There are some tricky mechanics.
Yeah. We're still getting the hang of it, but I think we're nearing the end. We've got four moves or four color moves.
It sounds like it, yeah.
Yeah. But it's a lot of fun. It's not too long, but it's probably just long enough. Like, if it went on too much longer, it would probably be
there's a lot to find. A lot of backtracking, like you said.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, Guacamelee is great. I look forward to keep playing it.
Me too.
Yeah. Alright, now that we've got the fun and games out of the way, let's get to the nitty-gritty. People have relationship problems, and hopefully we have their relationship answers. So let's open the mailbag.
Well, our first question is from Mike, or Mike Atuna, on Giant Bomb. His question is that, Well, I guess I should start off with a showstopper. At 22, I haven't been in a real relationship, and I still haven't kissed anyone. Typical geek, right? It's a long and dumb story as to why that's the case, but whatever, this email is long enough as it is. I'm not out and out worried about it, but definitely concerned. I feel like I should have a couple relationships and kisses under my belt at this point. I also get the feeling that any girl I find myself in a relationship with is going to have flashbacks of their grade school boyfriends due to my lack of experience. Anyhow, back to my question, what are some tips on kissing? I'm assuming everyone has a different kissing preference, and if so, how do you not mess it up during the first one? I sometimes hear people talking about good and bad kisses, but find myself perplexed as to what that actually means. I'm probably thinking too hard about it, but any advice would be nice.
All right. Well, first off, okay, you're 22, you haven't been in a real relationship, still haven't kissed.
I don't think that's that unusual.
I mean, it's definitely later than the norm, but it's also not unheard of.
No, I know people older than 22.
And still haven't kissed anyone?
As far as I'm aware, yeah.
Are you keeping...
Well, that haven't had any relationships.
Are you keeping tally on everyone?
Why?
Because I don't know who has or hasn't kissed anyone.
Well, friends.
Oh, I see. I don't think there's really anything wrong with it. I mean, obviously, I'm sure you would have liked to by now.
Yeah.
But really, it's not an issue unless you make it an issue.
Mm-hmm.
And most people that you would kiss or would date, it's really not going to be an issue with them either.
I think some girls would like that.
Really?
Yeah.
I could see that with maybe sex, but kissing, I don't know.
I don't think it's too different.
Well, with the sex thing, it's like a nice thought, I think, but... I understand where his fear is coming from, because I could see how he probably thinks that girls are going to assume there's something wrong with him if he hasn't found any girls to kiss him by that point.
Right.
But I do think that's mostly in his head. And there are probably some girls that will feel like, oh, well, I'm not going to kiss him if nobody else has by now.
Well, then they're the wrong girl.
Exactly. Well, yeah. And then that, not even in the cheesy way. That just makes them a bitch.
Yeah.
If this gets in the way of, like, starting a relationship with a girl or kissing a girl, then she's really not worth your time. And not even in a cheesy way. That just makes her a bad person.
Yeah. I mean, I can relate. I was older than most of my friends. I was probably the last of my friends in a relationship, because throughout high school I was very much the shy, still am, the shy kind of hiding in the corner kind of girl. But and all my friends would say when we'd go out, just get wasted and just kiss anyone, and I'm like, alright. And then even when I was really drunk, I still couldn't bring myself to it, because in my head I was thinking, oh, I'm gonna mess this up. And he's gonna laugh, and then everyone else will be drunk and laughing.
Yeah, and I don't have a problem with that, how late it was for you or anything like that. Doesn't affect us or our relationship. And I like you said, I guess I shouldn't have said no to you, because I like that it was important enough to you that you didn't want to just
go around kissing
anyone. Yeah, I'm sure Mike Tuna could have just forced a kiss on someone, or mm-hmm. someone was really drunk and willing to kiss him. But yeah, it is cool to make it matter, I guess, and yeah. not just force it because you feel like you should have by now.
And if you're anything like me, where I kind of had the conversation played out in my head, where I would meet someone and then kind of explain to them, you know, I apologize. Like before, like if you lent in for a kiss, like, I'm just gonna stop you there 1 second.
I think guys do that too, where they're like, before they're gonna make a move, they're gonna explain, like, Now, I want to kiss you, but first I want to explain a few things.
Yeah.
And that is definitely, honestly, like, that's, like, the thing not to do. Like, or, I guess, I was going to say, don't ask permission to kiss the girl. Mm-hmm. Like, you should just know when the moment's right, and asking permission kind of ruins that moment. But if you haven't kissed a girl yet, you're probably not going to have that intuitive.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you might misread situations. Or like
you might find it sweet.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. Maybe, I mean, if that's how you feel, like you should ask.
Yeah.
I guess maybe you should, because having not done it, it's harder to read the signals or know when the moment's right or anything like that.
I'm really get out of your head, I think.
Right. Actually, the less thinking you could do, the better. Because if the moment feels right and you're confident enough to make the move, just make the move. If you absolutely have to ask, it's not the best thing to do, but it wouldn't ruin the moment if she's really that interested in kissing.
And don't, I guess, well, I say don't get in your head, and then don't be too forceful or kind of rein it back a bit if you're overly excited.
You can kind of tell if a girl is not, like, avoiding touching you or, like, not recoiling from your touch. Like, kissing is not the first thing that you do to initiate contact with a girl. Like, you have to kind of
build it up.
Build it up. Yeah, but that's thinking too much again. This is complicated. I'm sorry, Mike Tuna. But, yeah, I mean, you kind of know if a girl is at least open to the idea.
Yeah.
So I'm backtracking on everything I've said already. Man. I'm glad I'm not in that situation anymore.
I think when the moment arrives, you know, I guess.
Right. And for you.
And it obviously would be with someone that you like and you trust.
Ideally.
Yeah.
But like with you, like you said, you were playing it over in your head all the time, always trying to plot out the perfect situation or how it was going to go down. Yeah. And it didn't go exactly according to your plan or anything, did it?
I think I told, yeah, I'm pretty sure I said to them my whole, speech that I had laid out.
Really?
Yeah.
But after you wound up doing it, do you think any of that stuff really mattered? Like, did that affect things? Or do you think that was more about making yourself feel comfortable than...
I think me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, honestly, okay, going to your questions, tips on kissing, how do you not mess it up during the first one? Don't plan it out. Don't think, okay, it's not like memorizing, like, codes in Mortal Kombat. Like, there's not a right way to do it. It's not like, okay, I've got to tilt my head 45 degrees, move forward.
Yeah.
part my lips. Just, honestly, do whatever feels natural. Do not think. Just...
Often, during the first kiss, you kind of blank out anyway.
Right. And, like...
I do, anyway.
Nobody's going to know it's your first kiss if you don't say so. They're not. You're all up in your head thinking about it, and you're so worried, and you're so obsessed. Honestly, most people, if they haven't kissed by 22, are probably obsessed with it and thought about it so much. And this goes for, like, sex, too. Don't worry about exactly what you're going to do. Just go in the moment, go with the flow. Your instincts are there for a reason. And I know some people have bad instincts, but honestly... that's more about, like, social things. That's less about, like, physical. Like, going for a kiss, how it happens is how it happens.
I mean, if you want to just start off with something little, like, just lean in with a little peck.
Yeah. It's almost impossible to mess up a peck on the lips.
Yeah.
I can't imagine how you could, unless you, like
smash your face.
Yeah, headbutt the person on accident. So, aside from that, yeah.
That can be nice.
Headbutt?
No.
There's nothing more romantic than a trip to the hospital.
A Glasgow kiss.
A Glasgow kiss? What's that?
Glasgow.
What's that?
A headbutt.
Oh. That's how they do it in Scotland.
Mm-hmm. It'd be sweet if you just leant in and a very gentle little peck on the lip and then pulled back. And then she might just lean in for more.
But, okay, well, do you think he should tell the girl that he hasn't kissed before? Because honestly, I don't think he should. She's not gonna, like, it's not, like, so obvious that, like, as soon as you kiss her, she's gonna be like, oh, he's never done this before. Or what the hell was that?
Yeah.
It's really hard to mess up a kiss. So, honestly, I would recommend when it's the right moment, you just go for it and do the kiss and don't explain your situation. Because mm-hmm. then she's going to be thinking, oh my God, this is first kiss. Then she's going to be judging or like, maybe not judging, because if she likes you, she likes you and she doesn't care.
Yeah.
But she is going to be thinking this is his first kiss. And like that will flavor things, color her thoughts.
Yeah.
Because honestly, I don't think she'd know if you didn't tell her. And yeah, there are things about, people say there are good kissers and bad kissers. For the most part, that's more about how they feel about the person. It's very rare where you like someone and you kiss them and then the moment's lost. Like, that's mm-hmm. that's always like a television thing where, like, two people are really into each other and then they kiss and then like, yeah. Oh, it's like kissing my brother.
Yeah.
That doesn't really, I mean, I'm sure that has happened, but that, yeah, it's kissing isn't like that. There's not a right way or a wrong way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like dancing. You kind of just both, like, go do your thing and find, like, something that works for the two of you.
Mm-hmm.
That said, the one thing I know from, like, high school experiences and stuff, the only thing you really want to avoid is being too wet with your kisses. That was a problem for me my first few times I was making out with a girl or kissing a girl, was that I think I was thinking too much and trying to, like, use my lips and my tongue so much that, like, when we were done kissing, like, our whole, like, mouths, like, upper lip, lower lip, chin were just, like, sopping wet. Like, we'd have to, like, wipe our mouths after we were done kissing. And, I mean, even at 22, probably some people still do that. But if you can avoid making things, you don't want, like, dry lips or anything. But aside from licking your lips before you go for a kiss or something, yeah, try not to, like, just slobber all over.
Yeah.
That's really the only bad thing you can do. That and don't try to, like, I'm sure on the internet there's things about, like, oh, biting the girl's lip or something. Or, like, stick to the basics at first.
Yeah.
And then if you want to do stuff like that, like, come up with it on your own. Don't, like, look up tips online. Like,
mm-hmm.
try things as you try them. Just don't be sloppy. Don't get too creative with biting lips and things like that. And don't, if you're going to French kiss a girl, dart your tongue in and out like a snake or something.
I know someone who did.
Yeah?
Yeah, one of my friends.
Hopefully not me.
No.
Okay. Yeah, and yeah, don't be thinking, oh, I've got to tilt my head to the right. Most people do tilt their heads to the right, little pro tip, but don't be thinking things like that. Just, yeah, take it slow, and
go just, with the feeling.
Yeah, go with the flow. Mm-hmm. There's not really anything else to it than that. And I know it's a huge deal to you, and you've built it up in your head so long, and that can be scary. But honestly, the less you think about it and the more you just do, the better it's going to be.
Mm.
Do you have anything else to add?
No, I think you've summed it up pretty well.
What are some of the excellent things I do as a kisser? Some pro tips for Mike Tuna.
Take the lead, I guess.
All right. There you go. Yeah, so good luck, and if you wind up kissing a girl, let us know how it goes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
If you haven't kissed one already.
Yeah, it's been 2 months. Sorry about that. I hope you haven't been waiting for our response to kiss a girl. Yeah, good luck. All right, our next question comes from AB. Is that right?
Yeah, that's all that was in the email.
Oh, he didn't leave his giant bomb name? Or is it AB?
That was just it, AB.
Oh, okay. Well, sorry. A little inside baseball for you guys. AB writes, "Dear X-Gal, my best friend and my ex's best friend are in a long-term relationship. We met through them, and although I really cared about this girl, she ended up breaking it off with me a few months ago. I still very much want to be together, but she does not. I've recently cut all contact with her in an attempt to try and cope with my feelings and hopefully move on. Problem is, we share a lot of the same friends, including our best friends, who are actually dating each other. We are frequently invited to the same social events, and that creates a dilemma for me. I don't want to be the guy who makes people choose between their friends, but I also feel seeing her single again makes me unhappy and digs up a lot of feelings that I'm trying to work through. X-Gal, I need your sage advice. How do I proceed with this girl in a way that is respectful to both of us and our circle of friends?"
That is a dilemma. I can't say I've ever been in that kind of situation, have you?
When I first broke up with my high school sweetheart, or she broke up with me, I guess, we were in the same group of friends. She was friends with all the girls that were, some of whom were dating my friends, the guys in the group. And yeah, that was a big problem. I kind of shut myself off for a while, which isn't the best thing to do.
Yeah.
From experience. Yeah, that can be a really shitty situation.
I guess it was a bit easier because you were in college too, right?
Yeah, we broke up shortly into our freshman year. Didn't work out the long distance thing that time. But yeah, it can be hard. But hopefully your friends, I guess, understand that you do need time apart. Like, you can't just force yourself to go there and be miserable, staring at the girl that you used to love who doesn't really care that you're there or not.
Right. I mean, I'm sure that it's your best friend, he would understand.
Yeah, but he also probably wants to spend time with their mutual friends and his girlfriend.
Yeah.
I guess the only thing you can do is, if you're there, if you're going somewhere and she shows up, you can find a way to gracefully leave soon after. You can ask if she's going to be at places. But the important thing is to discuss with your friend that you will need some time. Mm-hmm. Say that it's not permanent, but that you need some time, like, without her to get over her. And most people will understand that. So things you could do are ask them if every now and then, maybe not every weekend or every day of every weekend, but like once a week or once every 2 weeks, there's just like a guy's night out, or like you can just ask for some time apart. Like, you can make plans and say, how about just the guys do this? Or and your friend's girlfriend and hopefully your ex would understand that you're not trying to exclude them or split up the groups, that you just need time to heal, because everyone needs time to heal.
Yeah.
It's not a great situation, but hopefully you're old enough and your friends are old enough that they understand that it's not going to just, you're not going to just get over it.
Yeah.
And time with her is going to keep those wounds open even longer. Sorry that we're getting to this question about a month later, but hopefully it still helps a bit, and hopefully...
Well, hopefully, I guess, everything's alright.
Yeah, ideally. But yeah, this girl used to care about you, so hopefully that means she still cares about you as a person, even if she doesn't want to be with you anymore. So I would hope that she would understand, too, that you do need time off, and if it does start a fight or something, you can explain that. Like, I'm not trying to... That's the most important thing, communication. With your friends, with the girls, with your ex. Just that you're not trying to split up groups. You're not trying to exclude people. That you just need time to grow or to heal. And you can't just avoid all of your friends to do that, because that'll just make things worse.
Mm-hmm.
You'll become kind of like a hermit. You'll get depressed. You need your friends to heal, and you can't do that when she's around. So, yeah, start planning things for just the guys. Or, like, if you know she's going to be doing something, you can hang out with the girls because you know she won't show up. And if she does, like, later in the night, you can just make an early exit.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good to me.
Yeah.
I wouldn't really know what to do in that
kind. You've never had any awkward situations with your friends? Where, like, two of them are fighting or anything?
No.
Well, lucky you.
Or good luck.
I guess so. I hope that helps, AB. If you got any more questions, let us know.
And let us know how it goes. Gets. Huh? How it pans out.
Yeah.
Okay, our third question is another one from Micah Tuna. He asks, what do each of you think is a good way to approach someone? Is an up and out, hi, how are you doing, best? And how should the small talk, how long should the small talk go on for before the actual number question? Should I get to the point or wait a bit? I go to a fairly small college and most of the students are going back to school, middle-aged. So I really haven't really talked to any girl my age in a long time. Back in high school, I did pretty well for myself, talking to female classmates, even if I didn't get a single relationship out of it. But that was half a decade ago, so I guess I'm out of practice.
Hmm. Well, you're in college, and honestly, that almost puts more pressure on you because everyone expects college students to be like, oh, young, happening, and swinging.
Yeah.
And especially, but since you go to a small college, that makes things trickier because everyone knows everyone, really. My college was pretty small. I think we had 3,000 students, which doesn't sound small, but compared to...
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. 3,000 to 6,000. I can't remember exactly. But, yeah, and then people talk and things like that. It's like a big high school, basically.
Yeah.
And that can be more stressful, too. And you have less options.
Mm-hmm. Especially if most of them are middle-aged.
Yeah, I didn't have to deal with that. What do you think is a good way to approach someone?
Well, it really kind of depends on the situation. If you're at a party, then go up and say, hey, having a good time?
Yeah.
Or, do you need another drink?
I think the most, the most common and least stressful way, which is probably why it's the most common, like if you're at a bar, is to just kind of, if they're up at a bar by themselves or with a friend, just pull up next to them, grab a drink, talk while you're waiting for the drink, mm-hmm. and then maybe go away and then come back later and talk again.
Yeah.
It really does depend on the situation. If you, like, you're next to each other in line at, like, a supermarket or something, it's always got to be basically, you can't approach it like you're... If you want trying to play it cool, you can't approach it like you're asking them out or planning to ask them out. You've just got to be friendly, like joke with them like you would any guy,
mm-hmm.
but not like crude jokes or anything, obviously.
Yeah.
Like
we've said in kind of older podcasts, if you see something like one guy noticed tops that the girl was wearing, that they had similar interests, like if she's wearing some kind of top with
Doctor Who
again, and just go up and say, hey, do you see last night's episode?
Yeah, something like that would be good. Some people try to get too clever and would be like, exterminate, and then you find out, oh, this is my brother's shirt, it's a hand-me-down, I don't like Doctor Who, and you're a creep because you just yelled exterminate in my ear. But yeah, like if you see something, if you're a shy person, you're not good at starting conversations in general. If you're, like, you seem to be okay at talking to female classmates in high school. Yeah. So if you can find a way to initiate a conversation, like, you see something, that's a great show.
Or if they're, like, in a group at a party, just kind of...
No, groups are the worst.
Really?
Guys can't do that. I mean,
no, not groups of girls, like just groups of guys and girls just chatting.
Okay, yeah, that's the Iron Man competition of asking a girl out. If she's with a bunch of girls,
yeah,
like there's no good way to do that, really. Mm. Except, I mean, the advice usually given is to, like, sit down and make friends with all the girls, and then eventually ask, mm-hmm. like, befriend all. But then you're basically flirting with a group of girls. Well, yeah, and not in, like, a bad way, but that's harder, because you've got to ingratiate yourself with each of her friends and her before you can make a move. Otherwise, you can do the creepy thing where, like, tap her on the shoulder, hey, can I pull you away for a second to talk to you? And then everyone in that group knows what you're doing, and yeah. they're all uncomfortable, mm-hmm. and they're all staring at you, and then you get all sweaty and nervous, and she feels uncomfortable because she knows her friends are watching her. So yeah, group of girls is always tough.
But like, if one of your friends knows her and her friends, then walk over with them and kind of start a conversation with him.
Yeah, he could introduce you, and then you can listen to them, have a conversation, and you can jump in every now and then.
And then, now and then, when other people start talking between themselves, you can try and start talking with that one.
Yeah. The easiest, hi, how you doing, is a good intro. Like, there's no, like, lines and stuff are always bad. Just saying, hey, treat them like a person, like how you would walk up to a person and just start talking to any... That's the thing guys tend to do the worst. They don't really think of girls as people. They think there's got to be some special way to talk to them, but talk to them like you would talk to any guy.
Mm-hmm.
And if it helps you to imagine, like, a guy you're uncomfortable around, like, think, like, if you're not an athletic person, think about walking up and talking to, like, the school quarterback or jock and imagine how you would, like, we don't have a lot in common, but I have to talk to this guy. Like, that's kind of similar to what it would be like for a girl. And hopefully you do have something in common otherwise. But, yeah, just treat them like people. Hi, how you doing is fine. Or you're in college, so not in the cheesy, like, hey, so what's your major? But, like, yeah, talking about her major or what she's going to school for mm-hmm. is a good intro, and that's a good minute of conversation.
Yeah.
And the more comfortable conversation you can have, the better. The key is comfortable conversation.
Yeah.
Because if you're just trying to talk as long as you can with the person, eventually you're going to be reaching for conversation mm-hmm. topics or, like, purposely trying to stretch it out, and that's going to feel fake and artificial. And eventually she's going to want to get out of there. Like, she'll be thinking, how much longer is he going to talk to me?
Yeah. Don't just keep talking at her either. Right. Ask her questions.
If she's not talking almost as much as you, then you're doing something wrong.
You gotta engage them.
Yeah. So basically, yeah, just treat them like a person, which seems obvious, but, like, that's one of the biggest mistakes guys make.
Yeah.
It's always, like, a competition, or, like, they are so different and weird.
Mm-hmm. And then, say, near the end of the conversation, say, I gotta get going, but would you like to do something sometime, or...
Yeah, yeah, just, I had fun chatting, if you had brought up a movie or something, say, like, if you brought up something in conversation that you could presumably do on a first date, mm-hmm. say, hey, if you ever want to, watch Doctor Who together, or,
go see that movie,
get a cup of coffee, yeah. or, have lunch sometime, like, in the lunchroom or something, that's a good, non-threatening
mm-hmm.
way to... Like, have a mini date, I guess.
Yeah.
And then if that mini date goes well, say, so do you want to go out for dinner or something sometime? Or something like that? Something that's more obviously a date.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you use the word date, that'd be great, but that might be too scary. I don't know that I've ever actually, maybe a few times, but for the most part, I never classified it as a date.
Yeah. I don't think many people do.
Most of them assumed.
Yeah.
But yeah, should I get to the point or wait a bit? Have a fun little conversation, but end it naturally. Don't try to drag it out. Mm-hmm. You want it to be pretty short, but enough that it's memorable.
Like. Unless you're having a great time and you end up talking for hours without even realizing.
But again, you got to make sure that she's just as engaged as you. The moment she starts, like, wondering when this is going to end, like, you've already lost.
Mm-hmm.
So you... if you're specifically talking to her to get her number or to go out with her, keep it pretty short. Have a fun little conversation, 2-3 minutes at most, and then be like, I love chatting, but I gotta get going. Can I get your number?
If you do, don't just wander off.
Yeah, and then stand in the corner of the room staring at her, chugging drinks.
Yeah.
Because that's pretty awkward. But, yeah, not too long, not too short.
It really let it end naturally.
And that's the thing. All of your questions tend to be just go with what feels right and mm-hmm. think about what the other person is feeling. Don't be so focused on, okay, it's only been a minute and a half. I've got to talk for another 2 minutes. If it feels like the conversation is dying, mm-hmm. either cut your losses and end it or go for it, ask for the number and end it.
Mm-hmm. I think that sounds good.
Yeah. Aside from that, there's not really any tricks. What are some ways that guys, good and bad ways that guys have approached you? Do you have any examples?
None have been good, really.
None have been good?
No.
This is going to make him feel terrible.
No. Because guys
none have been good? Wait a second.
Well, no, because we were just talking online.
Exactly. I ensnared you in my trap. Honestly, sorry to interrupt real quick. But online dating is more and more common. And if you're one of those people that's super shy, mm-hmm. that's actually a really good way to get to know someone first. If you can, because then you can have a conversation. There's no pressure because either one of you can just end it and basically
you can think about effectively, what to say.
Yeah, and you can effectively disappear if things go bad.
Yeah.
Like if she doesn't want to talk to you anymore, she can just not respond and then it's over.
Yeah.
And vice versa.
You don't have to be worried about what to talk about because you can think about it. You don't have to think off the top of your head, which I'm bad at doing.
Yeah. Well, not that you're bad at doing it, but that's good advice. And yeah, it allows you to get your personality out there if you're not good at expressing yourself in person. Mm-hmm. So consider online. It's not too bad. It worked out for us.
Yeah.
though I'm a natural speaker, obviously. But you were saying?
Guys, when I was free and single, would tend to come up to you when you're out. Like, when I used to go to clubs with my friends, even though I hated it. It would be just drunk guys, which randomly, you'd be dancing with your friends, and then suddenly, who the hell is this guy on me?
Whose wiener is rubbing against my butt?
Literally. They would literally.
that's dancing, right?
Yeah. That was pretty much how it happened. You would just be dancing and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you're randomly dancing with someone. You don't know how that happened.
Yeah, that's kind of the aggressive, scared approach. That's what guys do when they don't know how to approach, but they know that they want it. That's the game industry drunk party approach.
Yeah.
How do they do it in Italy, I think you said?
Oh, they would come over and lick your face.
Do you think that? Do you know if that's an actual Italy thing, or was that guy just really into licking faces?
No, it was
just
you. It was more than one.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe it was all like a bet. Like they were playing truth or dare, and they were all like, "Go lick that girl's face."
I don't know, because my friend who was Italian, well, you know, her dad was, said that when she was there, that's just what they do. It's like an Italian like passion.
Do they go?
No, that's not passionate. The raw.
Cats aren't passionate.
No.
You've told me some other stories about... What about your boyfriend before me? How did he ask you out? No? Okay, we're not talking about that. But there was one guy who left a note for you on your car.
Oh, I didn't go out with him.
No, but he asked you out.
At home I have a old original Mini, and someone in college saw me driving it into the car park and left a note saying, like, nice Mini, give me a call, Jason, and his number or something.
How'd that work? You didn't start dating him.
No,
so.
I texted him and he said, do you want to go to McDonald's? It was the middle of the night, he said, do you want to go get a McFlurry at McDonald's? I was like, No, I'm all right. I'm going to bed.
Okay. Let's analyze that one real quick. Did you know Jason? Was that his name?
Yeah.
Did you know him? Or like, what do you look like?
Because
just leaving a note like that is like, that could be anyone. That could be like the janitor or some creepy raper guy. Like,
yeah, I had an idea. Oh, it might be that guy that was like in front of my car that had to move out of the way when I pulled into the car park.
He just waited till you left so he could write a note and put it on your windshield.
And then when I would go to college, I got out of the car, walked to class, and I had a text like, hey, just saw you in the car park. Because his classroom was like, looked onto the car park.
How did he have your number?
I texted him.
Oh, this was after.
Yeah.
That's, yeah, you never want to make a girl feel like you're watching her.
He said, look and fly.
Without, well, so he was smooth. Yeah. You never want to make a girl feel like you're watching her without her knowing.
Yeah.
Notes are very, like, were you turned off by the fact that it was a note? They seem pretty passive aggressive, and I wouldn't recommend that guys write notes.
Yeah, it was the only kind of one I'd had, so I was kind of like, weird.
And the fact that, like, you didn't necessarily know who wrote the note made it awkward. If it's, like, your only way to reach out to the girl, and, like, literally your only way, it's not necessarily the worst, as long as she knows who you are. Because, and giving her the option to text was good. It's almost better to give a girl your number than to ask for hers. Because then... Yeah. It gives her all the power. It makes her more comfortable. You'll then go crazy, like, waiting for the call or the text. But it's probably a classier move, I think, to give her your number.
Yeah.
Asking immediately for a McFlurry, like, in the middle of the night
is
weird. But maybe he should have said, hey, maybe on Sunday we can do something during the day. But
good for
you. Yeah, I'm glad he didn't. I didn't take my advice. I had a friend who actually was at a bar with me. We were only at the bar so he could find someone, because he was looking for a girlfriend or a date or something.
Right. And is this the one I might be thinking of?
Max.
Oh, no.
So you know him, but it's not probably who you're thinking of. And the whole night he was looking at girls. There were some girls that would, like, look at him, and, like, he never went over. Like, she was dancing. He never asked her if he could dance with her or anything. Mm-hmm. A bunch of different girls like that. And eventually, after they all started going out, like, dancing or talking to guys who were active enough to actually approach them while he sat at the table with me and some of our friends, they were all picked off one by one until it was just the cute, slightly chubby waitress that we had. And we kept saying, okay, well, she's engaging with us. Like, that's what waitresses do. They do talk to you and just, but, like, if that's a good in, at least, or a good opening, if she's talking to you and at least she's not, like, creeped out or wants nothing to do with you.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, if you want, we can make ourselves scarce, or you can walk up to her, ask her out, or ask her out while we're here, whatever. And he wouldn't do that. Eventually, he wrote a little note on a napkin, waited till final call, then walked up to her and said, hey, it was cool talking to you, and handed her a napkin, and then walked away.
Was he a shy guy?
I didn't think so, but that's one of the most passive-aggressive things you could do.
Yeah.
Especially if you are physically handing the note to the girl, that's like third-grade stuff. So don't do that either. Yeah, basically, let's wrap it up. We're going to wrap this up, but... let's go over what, since we really went on some tangents. Good way to approach is just make it natural. Like, talk to them in a situation where you would talk to anyone. If you're, like, bored waiting in a line, or you're sitting next to each other in the library or something.
Yeah. Same class.
Right. Hi, how are you doing is fine. Or commenting on the situation you're in, or something about her you noticed.
Mm-hmm.
And small talk should just go on as long as it's natural and as long as she's keeping engaged.
Yeah.
If you're doing all the talking, it's gone too long and you should try to end it. And you can ask for a number, or you can give her yours if you're willing to go crazy for the next few days. wondering if she's ever going to text.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else?
Again, with the conversation, is just ask her questions. That's what we learned when I worked in the call center. Mm-hmm. You got to ask them questions, open questions, so that they keep talking.
And something I've heard about from improv is that you always reply with yes and. So, yes and, always reply with yes and. Not necessarily verbally yes and, but never like shoot down what someone's saying. Just always
carry on what they're talking about.
Keep adding to that conversation instead of cutting them off and ending that entire possible conversation.
So, sounds good.
Work at a call center and take improv classes. That's our advice to you, Mike Tina. I remember that you do have a few more questions. We didn't want to overload this one. So next month when we record in August, right before Dawn leaves, we'll get to your remaining questions. But if you have any more, feel free to send them in. We don't mind. We could always use more questions, and we're here to help.
Hopefully we'll be more regular.
Yeah, we'll definitely start doing it more often every month, hopefully. No more long gaffes like we just had. And with that, I think we're going to call it a podcast for this week. If you have any questions about girls, games, or relationships, and you want our advice,
or if you have any thoughts or comments on the questions we've answered today,
feel free to shoot us a written or recorded email at giantbombxgal. That's giantbombxgal@gmail.com.
Or send a PM to Righteous86 or DuskVamp on the site.
And we'll try to help out as much as we can.
Thanks for listening.
And remember, if all else fails, fake your own death. Every Tuesday night, like a radical shiite.